You're about to listen to the newest family member of SeavillePodcast.com. It's Dr. Tripp Stewart from Greenbrier Emergency Animal Hospital here in Charlottesville. Dr. Tripp Stewart will give you tips and information you need that can help for your pet safety. Greenbrier Emergency Animal Hospital is open 365 days a year, including 24-hour coverage on all major holidays.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Tripp Stewart from Greenbrier Emergency Animal Hospital. I would like to tell everybody about some common toxins. I'd like to educate the public on things that we see commonly in the emergency room that most people don't know about, or at least they know about, but they just don't know the details on them. So today's podcast is going to be on common kitchen items that are toxic to your pets. We also have this online on our website if you miss any of this or you want some more detail at www.greenbrier-emergency.com. So there are a couple things in your kitchen that seemingly are harmless to you and me, and they are harmless to you and me, but they're not quite as harmless to your dogs. This isn't really applicable to cats because cats, they just don't look for these kind of treats. They're not garbage hogs. They're not indiscriminate eaters, whereas dogs will just eat anything they get a hold of. The same does apply to cats, but we just don't see it as much. So things like grapes, raisins, onions, garlic, chives, yeast dough. Everyone knows about coffee and chocolate, but I bet you don't know about macadamia nuts or sugar-free gum, xylitol, sugar-free gum. These are things that you and I eat on a regular basis, but your dog can actually die from. So let's start with the basic one, grapes, raisins, and currants. This is actually a new toxicity that has come out in the last, say, 10 or 15 years. In fact, most older vets are learning about this in their career, not in vet school. It's an unknown mechanism, so dogs, cats, mostly dogs, shouldn't eat grapes and raisins, but we don't know why. It can cause severe renal disease, kidney failure. It's one of the things that you see when your dog eats these raisins. It's an unknown dose as well. So it could be one raisin, two raisins, 10 raisins, a bag of grapes, one grapes. It's hard to say how many there are. There are guidelines to how many you shouldn't eat, but we've seen dogs that have been sick with only four or five raisins. So what should you do if your dog gets raisins or grapes? The first thing is don't give your dog raisins or grapes. The second thing is be careful where you throw them away. But if your dog does get raisins or grapes, you want to pretty quickly get them to a veterinary office. They're going to be induced to vomit, potentially given charcoal to coat their stomach, and then started on IV fluids. The idea is that these fruits are going to affect the kidneys in a way that's going to cause an acute renal failure. And by giving IV fluids, we're actually helping the kidneys flush out some of these toxins. They're going to do some blood testing for pre-levels, so we'll see what the kidney levels are first. And then after a day or two of fluids, we'll do some post-levels. And that will give us an idea of how badly the kidneys are affected and if they are. There really is no antidote, but the most important thing is getting them to your vet office and getting them started on IV fluids and care. If you're concerned at all, if there's one grape or one raisin, it's unlikely that's going to be a problem. Like if your four-year-old kid drops a raisin on the ground and the 60-pound lab licks it up, that's probably not going to be a problem. But if you get a whole box of those little boxes, the four-ounce box of raisins, that's something to be concerned about. So grapes and raisins, currants, that whole family of fruits, avoid it. If you see them, go to the vet. The next one's a more controversial one because people use them all the time, is onion, garlics, and chives. I've heard of people giving their dogs garlic on a regular basis to prevent fleas and ticks, thinking that the smell is going to emanate from the dog's skin and they're going to be flea and tick-free. There's also homeopathic remedies that involve garlic and onions in fresh dog food. Bad idea. These are disulfide-containing vegetables that can really bother a dog's stomach. The gastrointestinal system of a dog first is the first problem. And second, and more importantly, they can cause severe red cell blood damage. They initially, with small doses, they'd really just irritate the GI system. You'll find vomiting, diarrhea, loose stool, things like that. We can live with that. That's okay. It's in larger amounts that you're going to see red blood cells actually rupture and die. And this can cause severe anemia. It's more severe in puppies or smaller dogs, certainly in cats. But it can be a big problem in big dogs that get into the trash or eat an onion-filled souffle or some kind of a onion-filled dinner that you made for your family. What you're going to see is increased heart rate, pale mucous membranes, increased respiratory rate, bloody urine, anything that is going to show signs of loss of red blood cells, or at least a breakdown of red blood cells. And this is something that can be very severe. Then, and the onsets can take up to 24 hours to kick in. So you may not know that your dog got in the trash, and all of a sudden he's showing these clinical signs, and you have to think back, wait a minute, what did we eat last night? What could the dog have gotten into? The treatment for onion, garlic, and chive toxicity is really supportive care. If the dog is extremely severe, we can give him a blood transfusion, but that doesn't usually happen. Go to your veterinary office, tell them what happened or what you suspect happened, and they'll take care of the rest. It can be a problem with chronic use, and it will certainly debilitate your dog. But again, it's not a immediate life or death usually. Not always, but usually. The next thing you don't want your dog to get into is yeast dough. Believe it or not, yeast dough is toxic to dogs. Sourdough seems to be particularly popular among dogs, but equally as toxic. What happens is the yeast rises in the warm, moist stomach of the dog, and it keeps rising and rising in there, and it causes extensive distension, and it can actually rupture the intestines or rupture the stomach. This is an immediate emergency. This is something that that can cause immediate death or long-term problems, even if fixed. The other thing that happens with yeast dough is as it ferments, it produces alcohol. This is an incredible byproduct of yeast fermentation, but it can create alcohol in such a level that the dog actually can get an alcohol toxicity. It's not a good way to start your morning with your dog with a bloated belly and alcohol toxicity after seeing that your nice new bread, which you were leaving to cook, is gone off the kitchen counter. So these are things you certainly want to watch out for. Another one that we all know about is chocolate and coffee. Now, everyone freaks out when their 80-pound Labrador eats one Hershey's Kiss. That's not usually a problem. Chocolate and coffee contain two methylxanthines, theobromine and caffeine are two of them, are the two methylxanthines in there, and these can affect dogs in the same way it affects us. They can race their heart rate, make them overexcited, hyper. It can even lead to things like seizures, a cardiac arrest, any of the problems that you would imagine with a caffeine overdose. So most people are concerned that these toxins are given to the dogs in small amounts. It's usually a little bit larger amount, but it does depend on the type of chocolate. White chocolate having the least amount, all the way to milk, then dark, then Baker's and pure cocoa. So if your dog gets one small bit of white chocolate, it's not a life or death emergency usually. But if you got, you know, even a small amount of Baker's chocolate, that can be a real serious problem. We do have a direct dose on these. There is an actual correlation between the amount of chocolate and the size of the dog, and we can kind of decide on how bad the emergency is based on that. What you're going to see is a whole bunch of gastric upset, stomach upset, and then after the initial stomach upset, ulcers, vomiting, diarrhea, then you're going to get this heart rate, super heart rate increase, respiratory rate problems, and maybe heart attack. Coffee is going to be about the same as chocolate. These are things that are emergencies. You need to go to a vet immediately. They'll make the dog throw up. They'll put in activated charcoal to prevent the rest of the absorption. They'll then start IV fluids most likely and severe monitoring. If we need to at times, we can even give drugs to lower the heart rate and protect the cardiac muscle to make sure there's no further damage. People don't think about coffee because most dogs don't like to drink coffee as we do. But the number one way, if you think about it, dogs get coffee is in compost heaps. So if you've got a compost pile and you're throwing your old coffee grounds like a lot of people do in Charlottesville, or they buy coffee from Starbucks that's been already brewed and they put it in their garden, dogs are going to lick that up, and it doesn't take very much coffee grounds to make your dog extremely sick. So this is something to consider before you mix coffee with your brand new tomatoes out in the garden. Another thing in the kitchen that we see that, you know, most people don't know about, in fact, it's pretty new on the whole spectrum of toxins, is macadamia nuts. It's an unknown toxic mechanism, in fact. People don't know why dogs have a problem, and it's also got a variable dose. So some dogs take one nut, some dogs take a whole pack, and they're fine. Signs usually develop in 12 hours, so it could be 8-9 hours ago your dog got that little pack of macadamia nuts that you gave your child again, and now they're acting very strange. Usually it's weakness, depression, tremors, gastric upset again, and with some easy nursing care and some monitoring, these dogs usually do well. But if you have a dog that's just not acting right, it's just doing poorly, and you're missing a little bag of macadamia nuts, this might be the culprit. It's not a life or death emergency usually, but it's something that you don't think about. It goes along with that grapes and maybe even the onions, where you're thinking that they taste great, I'll eat them, but maybe my dog will like them. It's a bad idea. The last one in the kitchen that I want to talk about is something that has come up in the last few years as being a real problem, which is xylitol toxicity. Xylitol is an artificial sweetener found in gum, some baking products, and toothpaste. You don't think of this as being a problem. I mean, everyone's swallowed gum in their life. Everyone has eaten toothpaste by accident. My 5 and 3-year-old have done both of those, I think, probably today. But xylitol in dogs and cats is extremely dangerous. They don't have the pancreas that we have. In fact, it's, you know, a fundamental difference of these animals. And even 1 to 2 pieces of xylitol-filled gum, like Icebreakers or Orbitz, can end up killing your dog pretty quickly. What happens is the pancreas secretes a massive amount of insulin, which would immediately lower the blood glucose in the dog, and you'd have this hypoglycemic event. They can have seizures, they can pass out, and eventually, or rather quickly, they'll actually die. Later on, after this event, even if you fix this, the dogs can often have subsequent liver failure from the xylitol. So if you know your dog got into your purse and you've got your Icebreaker gum, or your dog got on the shelf and ate some of the Icebreaker, and you think to yourself, wow, what a great minty breath my dog finally has, it's serious. This is something to go right to the vet office for. They'll probably make the dog vomit, start them on IV fluids, and start monitoring blood glucose by the, you know, half hour or so. And this is something that most people don't think of in the back of their head, but can cause very quick, severe problems in your dog. Well, that's the end of our kitchen toxins for today. I hope this was helpful. It's some information that might prove, you know, to save your dog one day. If you want more information, again, you can go to our website, www.greenbrier-emergency.com, and look under the blog section. We're going to be posting blogs on a fairly regular basis with a lot of good information. Thanks.